Now the mind of God is to glorify Christ. Beginning at verse 9, we have seven steps upward. Now we've had seven steps downward. We are going to have seven steps upward. Now will you notice? The mind of God, therefore, is the exaltation of Christ. And these are the seven steps. Beginning here with verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. That is the supreme purpose of God the Father in this universe, that Jesus Christ be glorified in the universe that he created, and that he be glorified on the earth where man dwells, where man rebelled against God. And the thing that makes this little earth significant and important happens to be the death of Christ, nothing else. When I hear an astronomer say, we are a little speck in space, and if this little universe we lived on was blotted out, wouldn't make any difference. It just wouldn't make any difference. And it wouldn't. It's absolutely true. Someone has said that though on this universe, that man is a disease on the epidermis of a minor planet. That's what we are. But my friend, the thing that has lent dignity to man and has caused him to look up into the heavens and sing the doxology is the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross for us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Now the second step, and given him a name which is above every name. And next time you take his name in vain, think of that. God intends that name that you drag in the mud, that you use in vain. Pilot that stepped off of one of these planes where the bomb exploded. Almost a miracle that he was able to bring that plane down. He said he just stood over at the side and said, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how he said it. He could have said it as profanity. God have mercy on him if he did it that way. Or he could have made that a prayer. And that name of Jesus Christ is to be exalted above every name. No, I don't care. You can take the great man of the world. You can take the angels of glory. There's going to be a name above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. Now, will you notice the third thing that is said here, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And that includes everything. That's the third. The fourth of things in heaven. And fifth, things in earth. And sixth, things under the earth. Now, there have been some that have used this clause here to mean that all will be reconciled to God someday, even hell. But may I say to you, that's not the teaching of the Word of God. Every place will have to recognize who Jesus Christ is. Even in hell, they're going to have to recognize that. And by the way, I think that'll contribute partly to their punishment. Imagine those that have taken his name in vain, hated him, disowned him, actually spit upon him down here, and having to acknowledge his lordship. But they're not reconciled to God at all, because you find in the epistle to the Colossians that he made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself. All things, then, that means under the earth? Oh, no. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, but not under the earth. No, hell is not reconciled to him, but hell will have to recognize who he is. God has determined that. Even the Christ rejectors will have to stand before him someday and recognize who he is. That is the important and the tremendous thing. Now will you notice here, every knee shall bow therefore to him. Then we're told in verse 11 here, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, that doesn't mean they confess Him as Savior. You confess Him as Savior here, but you'll have to confess Him as Lord there. That's quite interesting. Even in hell, they have to recognize the Lordship of Jesus. And may I say to you, and I say it very carefully, we ought to be very careful about calling Him our Lord if He's not our Lord. You remember He made this statement that there are going to be many in that day that are going to say, Lord, Lord. They call Him Lord. And they did actually miracles in His name. He's going to say, I didn't even know you. My friend, you better know Him as your Savior before you start running around and talking about the fact that He's your Lord. Make sure He's your Savior. And then if He's your Savior, then you can bow to Him and you can become obedient unto Him. I don't even like to hear them sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. We sure have a friend in Him, all right. But He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you doing what He commands you? Then don't call Him your friend. He says, you're my friend if you do what I command you. Oh, my friend, today, even in hell, they're going to have to bow and acknowledge who He is. But they don't claim Him as their Savior. They spurned Him and rejected Him down here. We'll pick up right there next time.
In a moment, we'll close our program with Dr. McGee reading a poem that meant a great deal to him. But first, let me ask you a critical question. One day, you'll bow your knee to Jesus Christ, as we heard today from Dr. McGee. The question is, will you bow your knee in this life? If you haven't already, will you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Today, we learned a great deal about the cross of Jesus Christ. Dr. McGee once asked, can you see in the cross what the dying thief saw? What John the Beloved saw, what the Apostle Paul saw. The cross is a sign of God's redeeming grace. Multitudes have come to Him and found the power of God. So, my friend, what does the cross mean to you? Have you turned to Christ? The one who died for you on the cross, rose again, and paid the penalty for your sins? Have you really trusted the one who lives today in glory and is returning to earth someday? Well, if you haven't, now is the perfect time. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God unto salvation.